둘, 셋, 파!
For Hey Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And future stronger you can get started now by saving $28 or more when you join today. You in? We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need to keep stepping it up. And free fitness training to help you mix up your routine. Plus, most clubs are open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends February 28th. See home club for details.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Hi, it wouldn't let me turn on my microphone until I accepted the recording invitation.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK, WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thank you, as always, for making your way here, for checking out the series. Hit that subscribe button, of course, so you can keep up with every episode that we put out every single week. You get a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Makes it a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover those new ones at Spotify, at Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video version. So again, anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Don't forget to also give the series a rating, leave a review if you feel so inspired. I promise that always helps out so much. We've had some great guests on lately. Caleb Followell of Kings of Leon, actor Tadanobu Asano from Shogun, Carl Clemens Hopkins, who stars as Marcus in Hacks, Joe Talbot from Idols was here, the cast of The Big Cigar on Apple TV+, comedian Modi, Tom Bailey of the Thompson Twins, Joe Gatto from Impractical Jokers, David Miller from Il Divo, Grace Cummings, Sebastian Bach, all just an example of what you can get every single week when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. And that's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, catching up with Maya Hawke. Yes, I've already talked with her once this month. This is her second time on. Earlier in the month, we were talking about her new film, Wildcat. She's also back with a brand new album called Chaos Angel. She's one of my favorite singer-songwriters. We're going to be hearing all about this third album and how some of the songs were actually written while making the movie Wildcat, about the life of Frances O'Connor. And how her life drifted into the lyrics, as well as the opening dialogue that was taken from a psychic session she had with a pair of witches when she was 11 years old, who wanted to put her inside of a golden bubble. You'll hear that story as well. Maya's also going to consider the mantras that are threaded throughout the record, her bouts of insomnia, and how an Allen Ginsberg quote reflects her separation of good and bad. As well as an update, of course, on filming the final season of Stranger Things, which she was doing while we were recording this. All that and more, we're talking Chaos Angel. It's Kyle Meredith with Maya Hawke.
Hi, it's so amazing to get to watch you give that intro. It feels like I'm inside the radio. It's really cool. You did it so expertly.
I've done that intro so many times that I only have to change the name, but that's the big part. Like, get the name wrong and the whole thing is messed up, and it comes right at the end too. So it's, it's so great to see you again. So we've talked on your previous releases, and each time I think I have to tell you how much more you've become one of my favorite songwriters and lyricists. And each time it just knocks me out what you're doing. So first off, it's so great to have you new music, but honestly, congratulations for once again, just, making something out of nothing means so much.
Thank you. I really, really appreciate that. Always a weird alchemy where like there's nothing and then there's something and then you think the something that you found is bad and then you find a way to change it and improve it. It's such a, yeah, alchemy is the right word, but I'm really never been more excited to put music out than I am for this record.
So, well, let's hear about it. Now, you know, you've been active. In fact, geez, I was looking at, I mean, I'm in Louisville. You did Wildcat, that was here.
Yeah. Like,
you spent your time around here, which I might ask something about that later. But were you making this record in between? Like, when did you have the time to write this and record this?
Well, first of all, I'll say some of the songs were songs that I kept off of my first two records because I really didn't feel like I knew enough about recorded music. And I love them so much, these songs. And like Promise is one of them. And there's a couple others. Some of them ended up on in some bonus land. But I kind of was in the process with Blush and Moss of understanding recorded music. And I would hear how the song sounded in my head, but I didn't know how to communicate with a band and with an engineer to have what was coming out of the speakers sound like what I had in my head. But through the process of making those two records, I felt like I really did learn how to do that. And it made it so that I got to take some of those songs that I'd been precious with and get to record them for this record. So that's one way, is that there's some really old songs on there. And I don't know, I'm one of those, like, you know, if you want to get something done, give it to someone, busy people. I actually work better and harder when my mind is occupied. Like, I can be so lazy. I can lay in bed and watch TV all day and think no deep thoughts and do nothing. But if I'm out in the world acting or writing or getting to meet with people or talk to someone like you, it often gets my mind going. And then I can apply it to something creative and it feels like it's already ready to go. So yeah, I wrote a lot of this record while I was making Wildcat in Louisville. I wrote a lot of it beforehand. It was, you know, just kind of happens.
Does that, like, I was doing a little comparison from what I remembered when we were talking about the last record with Moss, and that record seems so purposeful, like all the songs, the way they work together, you know, this whole story. Does that make this album sort of, I don't know if the opposite is the right word, but different than that? Like, it's not to say those themes don't arrive, but if it's a little bit patchwork.
Well, in some ways, I mean, I would say it's both the opposite and even more, because Moss was written in some ways, like we had the dates on the book of when we were going to make an album and we had to write the songs to get ready to make the album. And so I think that they're entangled with each other in part because they were all drawn from a very specific and singular emotional moment in my life and sort of written in a state of emergency, both technically and emotionally. And this, like, we came in with 17 songs. I had a lot of songs from my past, songs that hadn't been recorded, songs that were new, songs that were first drafts, and there were 17. And I knew the ones that we had to get that were definitely going to be, I knew the maybes, and it was more like patchwork, but in some ways it was more intentional in that way. Like, I didn't cut anything off of, or I cut one song, but I barely cut anything off of my first two records. And this has a ton of cuts, a lot of good stuff left on the field, because I really wanted to build something with a really strong foundation. And where it just had the best stuff. And so, yes, it is more patchwork. There's more different storylines, different times in my life that are represented here, different feelings, different characters. It's less linear, but it is almost more homework was done, more preparation. So combo.
So that leads into then those first words that we hear. You've become the angel in human form.
Does that make sense when we put it that way?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's so cool that you would bring that up. I have kind of a cool story about that. That recording, I was kind of a depressed teenager. I mean, this shows a very, very strange side of my childhood, but I was kind of a depressed teenager or more young person, like 11 or 12. And so I went to go see these witches, these New York City witches, who did a ceremony for me. And they laid me down on this table and surrounded me with crystals. And like one of the witches had a dog. And I recently, in the last couple of years, found this recording of the ceremony where they were trying to like exorcise my depression or whatever, like spiritually exorcise it. And it's a crazy recording of like the way, just like many people would listen to it in different ways and interpret it differently. But that's a snippet from that recording that I discovered way after I titled the record, way after like we were actually, I'd always wanted to include a piece of this recording in this record because I'd wanted to include a piece in Moss and we hadn't found the right place or the right piece. And we were scrolling through it to listen for a cool aspect to put into Black Ice. And all of a sudden we stumbled across You Become the Angel in Human Form. And it was like, you know, the title of the record was already here. It was like, oh, that has to be what it is. And it also just felt like it connected so well with the song. And so anyway, so it's from a crazy psychic session that I have as an 11-year-old. And when you hear a little voice at the end go, yeah, like, does that make sense? When we put it away. Yeah, that's me at 11.
Did it work?
In some ways it did. And in some ways it didn't. They told me that I had a hard shell on my chest, like an armor plate of a knight, and that they wanted to remove it because it was protecting me from bad things, but it was also protecting me from good feelings too. It was like shutting me down and blocking my heart. And I mean, this is all like, I'm a little woo-woo, but this is a little more woo-woo than I am. But, and so they replaced it with a golden bubble. They like this whole ceremony was them removing this breastplate and installing a golden bubble. And I then later, like at 16 or 17, got kind of sad again. And I got really angry at them. And I was like, this golden bubble is bull. Like it's letting in way too much stuff. I want my breastplate back. And I actually reached out to these witches to try to talk to them, to get them to return my breastplate that they'd stolen from me. And I couldn't find them. Anyway, so in some ways it did work. It gave me like kind of some different tools with which to think about the things happening in my life. I think a lot of the time, the purpose of insert religion, insert spiritualism, insert astrology, mythology. Actually, the purpose is to give you a metaphoric structure for your emotional life so that you don't feel like everything is your fault. You know, like, oh, it's not that I'm a loser. It's that my Mercury's in retrograde, you know, and it won't be anymore in 2 months and everything will be changed. And that actually gives you something to look forward to, which frees you from the sense that nothing good will ever happen in your life again, which of course is not true. Something good will happen, whether it's in exactly 2 months when Mercury is not in retrograde anymore, I don't know. But it's the optimism and the hope that I think is what's so important. And this is my very, very long-winded way of saying, I think it does help to be like, oh, my spirit animal is a lion and it's always there protecting me. And like, I'm going to grow up into being a magical person with a golden bubble and who does good things for other people because these magical witches told me. And it takes you out of the place in your little kid brain where you're like, I'm a loser. I'm the worst. Nothing good is ever going to happen. You're like, oh no, I'm actually magical. And people told me. So, okay.
I really hope that somehow finds its way into a script one day, honestly. I would love to see that.
And we'll be right back right after this.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan, additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Maya Hawk.
Like, I'm still looking at Black Eyes, and even the song "Okay," Black Eyes, like "Give Up, Be Loved." Those two words. If you're okay, then I'm okay. And I know those are two different stories. And even the way the record ends, "I'm sorry," is the last words. You know, if we're talking about the first lines, the last things you say is "I'm sorry." And there's something about all of those. Give up, be loved. I'm okay. I'm sorry. You know.
Well, you really are hitting the nail on the head there. I tried to like thread these kind of modern mantras into the record. And all the ones you're mentioning. "I'm okay. You're okay. I need you. I want to be alone. Give up, be loved. I want you. I love you. I promise. I'm sorry." Those are kind of spread throughout the record because sometimes it feels like there is this, like, you know, the joke of, okay, if you had three wishes, what would you wish for? And the first one is world peace. And then everyone's like, "Oh, come on." Like, you know, like it's a little, sometimes our mantras and our wishes feel a little bit so out of our control and so not acknowledging of the reality of our experience that they're, though they are positive, they're so distantly positive that it's hard to truly want them. Or know how to fight for them. And so I wanted to make little wishes and mantras and promises that actually felt attainable. So rather than, you know, I mean, there's that song Promise, which is actually one of the old ones, a promise is a plaything guaranteed to break. So it's like, it's not give up, be loved. It's repeated. Like you're going to give up and then you're going to be loved and then you're going to do it. You know, you're going to keep doing it. And so it's trying to come to terms and acceptance with our patterns and the cyclicality of our emotions. You know, I had a massive like epiphany when I realized that you had to be sad to feel happy and you had to be happy to feel sad. Like that actually, they don't exist without each other. You know, there's no lightness in the dark without the there's no light. There's no light without the darkness. There's no lightness in the dark. So I tried to thread that through and I'm so glad you noticed.
It is obvious, at least to me. And I was thinking about some of those other lines too, which didn't have to do with that, but just those lyrics. "I found myself in the clothes on your floor." You know, I don't have tattoos, but I'd totally tattoo that one on my arm if I did. So that's that.
Thank you.
And you're like, I don't know, dark, like that song, since we're talking about the darkness, dark, like your voice feels like it could fall apart in that song.
Yeah.
And at the same time, it feels like, what did I write down? It feels like night swimming, like not the REM song, but like actual,
yeah,
it feels like, and when the music takes off, it's even more so in there, but just like, I don't know, like if you can recount recording that song, but it does, this feels like a moment's like she could just crumble.
Yeah. That song, I remember recording it and I remember writing it. It's one of the ones that I've been holding on to for a while. It's existed in a lot of different versions. The original chorus was written kind of just all about anxiety and about feeling unable to sleep. Was really like I do not know how to deal with the nighttime, like how will this end kind of feelings. And then the verses kind of found their way into the song. And I don't know, the vocal quality, you know, you sort of have to thank my producer, Christian Lee Hudson, if you like it, for that, because he was really encouraging me not to double my vocals as much and to allow the actual quality of my voice to exist on the recording more. And I had no doubled vocals on my first record. And then my second record was entirely doubled vocals. And I was worried about it not doubled vocal for this song because it's so talky. I think it needs to be strengthened by something. But then we sort of found, I don't know, a real emotional through line and vulnerability in the talkiness of those phrases. And I'm really proud of it and happy with it now.
And that's just so important. I mean, a great song, it's got more than just that great melody. I mean, you can feel, I that's how I feel anyway. Like you can feel that the artist feels it, you know, it's not just reciting it. And yeah. Props to Christian and you know, I know there's so many other names on here. Benjamin Lazar Davis and Bridget Carney's on here, which, you know, I love her work and all of her bands and stuff like that. And what was I looking at? Also Black Eyes, what, Sadie Sink? And you've got Levon Hawk on both of them on there doing background vocals. Is that just you're around, jump on here?
Well, Christian had this idea. You've seen that movie Magnolia? You know how all the actors are singing that song and they're kind of cutting between people? Well, he had this idea with the give up, be loved at the end to bring in, I was trying to say that to myself, right? Like let love in. Stop fighting the people who love you. Allow them to love you. And find a way to accept it. And so he thought it would be beautiful to bring in a lot of friends, and people close to me in my life to have them each say that, like to me would be the idea, or as like, and so every voice you hear, I mean, you also hear Eliza Callahan in there, who's an amazing novelist and songwriter herself, part of the band Purr, and you hear Will Graith, who's been my co-writer for years, and my friend Fiona Agar, who did all the art direction on the album, so you hear a lot of really Christian himself, you hear a lot of really important people to me telling me to chill, which was sort of a part of Christian's vision at the end, and I couldn't be happier with how it is. And I don't know if it'll feel moving to anyone else, but when I listen to that song, that end part, and hearing all of those people I love as this choir, it really moves me.
Who needs witches when you've got friends like these?
Exactly. Exactly.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Maya Hawk.
That might be an easy tie-in to ask about the end of a Big Idea, where you sort of take a oh my God, the beat writer. Ginsberg, when you take
Oh,
Ginsberg and
Ginsburg,
twist
yeah.
it around, I saw the greatest minds of my generation dismantle the system and replace it. If I got that lyric.
Yeah, basically dismantle the system only to replace it.
So what inspired that? And if you've got people in mind, who were they?
Well, so I mean, Christian and I spent more time than you could possibly imagine working on the words to that end part of this song, because this big idea was really hard for me to write, because I normally write really about really small things, like little moments, little feelings, personal interpersonal dynamics. And I was trying to write about something broader with that song, like about the world or something, and my experience of this time, which I don't know if I'll ever try to do again, but that's I wanted to try it once. And so we spent so much time going back and forth about what those words would be, and kind of with the starting point of that Ginsberg line, and what we'd been noticing and feeling, or a version of what we were talking about, was that that our community seemed to have built a new system of holding people back, and separating people into groups, and of like, good guys and bad guys, and we've, the generations before have worked so hard to dismantle the segregation and the groups and now we've dismantled those only to kind of install new ones, of, clubs that people aren't allowed to be a part of, and things some people aren't allowed to talk about, and you can't have an opinion on that, and you can't bring that up, and you don't have permission to learn anything or to grow, and how frustrating it feels that at every demarcation of progress, there is something lost, and some new thing that has to be discovered and unwound and undone, and the pendulum has to swing, and it's so we were trying to write about that, and generally about how the song to me is about, like, wow, is the world really ending? If so, what do we do? Do we be as gluttonous as possible and be like, actually, we have no control to change anything, it's totally over, like, let's just, make love on a ballistic missile, like, it's, we're going to explode, but let's, like, try to get as much pleasure out of it as possible while we can? Or are we, trying to bring poppy seeds to a gunfight and create growth where there's, beneath the violence? And I don't know what to do, but we're all trying to figure it out, I think.
There's a Wilco lyric that I try to remember in those moments where Jeff Tweedy said every generation thinks it's the end of the world, and I
Yeah.
try to remember that, like, when as long as you take it, the environment out of this, which you can't really, but if you take the environment, it's important to remember that. And just to be frank, and I'm pardon my language here, the other line that I always think of is every generation thinks they invented the blowjob. And
Yeah, totally.
it's those two lines that when I go in that spiral that you're talking about, if we call it a spiral in this moment, that's the things that go, we've been here, we've done this.
Yeah, I mean, I've been listening to this podcast called The Fall of Civilizations. It's truly amazing, recommended to me by Joe Keery, actually. And we're actually overdue to crumble as a civilization. And we're overdue to have a massive natural disaster as a planet. Like, we're, and, but the ending of your world is not the ending of the world. Like, you know, when the Sumerian Empire ended, they're like, the world is over. But it wasn't. And so, and that's a hard thing for us to accept and understand. Like, what's the line about how, you know, the sign of wisdom is when old men plant trees they know they'll never sit in the shade of, or something like that. Or that's not wisdom. It's like the sign of a strong civilization and culture. And it's like our understanding that though our world could end and the world might not. And what does that mean? And does that even matter to us? Or does our world only matter, which really could end? You know, I don't know.
I've had this conversation several times on here. It's like, what matters? Nothing matters. Yeah.
Everything matters. Ah!
Like, I see myself in certain stages of my life and compare it to people that have done this before me, all the people that have done this before me, and know that I'm basically just hitting the mark. You know, whether it's the superficial stuff, like I'm 20 years old, I'm never going to be a fan of Dire Straits. And then my mid 30s going, I'm a fan of Dire Straits, you know, or it's these moments like this, you know, and here I am, you know, starting the middle part of my life and going, yeah, what matters? Does any of this matter? Nothing matters. Whatever, all of this, because one day 100 years will pass and whatever I did, nah. You know,
but then, there's, so it's easy to make the counter argument. It's like, this conversation matters so much to me. Like, having someone listen to something that you made with this much detail and empathy and give you permission to talk about it and to ramble about it. And it matters. It's a life changing thing. It matters a lot to me. And does that matter? No, but also totally. I don't know.
Because here we are, and this is all we have is right now. So
yeah,
why don't we might as well, right?
Yeah.
I will say that after listening to the record and just thinking about this album and really thinking about this record and what it does mean to me, and I do want to reference my note here. No emotion is guarantee. And if they can't offer trust, at least ask for faith.
Because when I
hear the narrator of these songs, whether it's you or, you know, the bigger ideas or whatever, that's what I hear them projecting to the people that they're talking to. Like, yeah. So that's what I love about it.
Well, and I think that's why I kind of bring in this angel character, is because there is an element of exploration of faith in some way. I mean, I was working on the Flannery O'Connor movie as I was kind of coming up with the title for this record and really getting ready to go in to record it. And so I'd been in a kind of deep study of Catholicism, really, but also religion more broadly, in an effort to, you know, empathize and connect with this character who was so devout. And I do think it's going to catch on a little bit, a place for belief in the idea of something beyond you, to be a useful tool with which to get through the chaos of our current civilization and life. I think that if you can't ask for trust, maybe you can ask for faith. And the possibility that it does matter makes it worth doing. Just even the possibility.
Well, thank goodness you did this record, because it does mean a lot to me in this moment. So
thank you.
That's true.
The best thing that's happening in my life right now is collaboration. And that collaborative process of making that movie with my dad, with Shelby Gaines, with my stepmom who produced it, with all of our friends who we called in favors to come out to Louisville and help us make this dream come true. You know, just, it feels so good. you know, when you get to work with people in that way. And that was also the experience that I got to have making this record. You know, I've been working with Ben Davis and Will Grafe for as long as I've been making music. You know, Jesse came out. I've, you know, been working with Christian since Moss. As I mentioned before, singing on there, Fiona and Eliza, I went to high school with them. My brother and I wrote songs on this record. Like, just, I feel this past year of making art for me has been drenched in history and experience and time in with people who know you, like, who really know you and who you really know and who you really love. And I couldn't have asked for a more fertile place to create from than those relationships.
That's beautiful. And you say Louisville beautifully too. It's you got the pronunciation down. That's, I think outsiders stress about that more than the people who live here too. But
I think that's probably true. I never gave it a second thought.
Yeah, there you go. Just kind of came.
I assume people would know what I meant.
And then of course we'll see you in Stranger Things whenever that comes out. I'm excited to see how this all wraps up.
Yeah, we're
up.
Filming it now.
Are you ready? Are you ready to be done? Are you ready? Is it?
I have never been more grateful to the show. I've never enjoyed making it more. And I am ready to welcome in a new experience in my life. But I'm also scared. You know, it's like, it feels a little like graduating college, even though I'm, or maybe, you know, grad school because of my advanced years. It, you know, it's like, okay, wow, now I got to go out there and fight in the big world by myself, you know, without like a thing that you know is coming, a safety net that you know will both inspire you, give you a social environment, a creative plane, get to spend time with your friends, you know, do the thing you love most in the world, and to kind of have to go figure out how to work in this world without that. I'm excited and nervous, like I think anyone would be.
Well, I'm excited to see all the stuff that you all are making. In the meantime, Chaos Angel is so, so good and so fantastic. Congrats on this. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk about it.
Duh, thank you for having me. I cannot tell you how much I appreciate the way that you listened. It means so much. So thank you.
My thanks to Maya. The new album is called Chaos Angel. And thanks to you for checking out the episode. Again, please do hit that subscribe button while you're hanging around so you can get 3 new interviews sent to you every single week. New and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at Spotify, at Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org. Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Give the series a rating, leave a review as well if you feel inspired. After all that, you can head over to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. You get 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music. There are bonus interviews and music news. One of my recent shows, featured some classics and favorites from Bruce Springsteen, Big Star, Camper Van Beethoven, REM, De La Soul, Phantom Planet, Willow, Beck, Patti Smith, The Cardigans, Phoebe Bridgers, Steven Sanchez, Chapel Roan, Slater Kinney, Nirvana, Blur, Bjork, Modern English, The Scratch, PJ Harvey, Broken Bells, Beyonce, and my interview with Guy Garvey of Elbow. Again, just an example of what you can hear every weeknight starting at 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. And I do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
No, I have no limit. I mean, I could have even kept going. Love talking to you about this stuff.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.